Everyone, expectations always determine happiness. We can cope with negative situations if we don't have very high expectations. But when we have high expectations and they tank, that's when we have a real tsara. And when the exact inverse of all our good planning happens, think about a situation when you thought you'd have a really good bonding experience with someone, a relative, a spouse, and in the effort, the overture to really bond deep, right? This one goes, right? Backfires, right? There's nothing more no more desponding situation than that. And think about what the Rabbeinu Shalom. When you think you're in a good rhythm in Avodas Hashem, you're doing good things and you're growing, and specifically then you suffer spiritual mishap. You feel rachak. Some of the Bali Avoda, certainly Bali Hasidus, talk about that, that struggle's built into Avodas Hashem. That specifically when the person is making positive steps, specifically then, they suffer with struggles and yirida, just to create a really steamy nisayin. And in a sense, all of this is what Moshe Rabbeinu suffered at the end of last week's Parsha Shmos, Moshe on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Moshe is sent to redeem Klal Yisrael, and Moshe has an adverse effect. Paro persecutes them more. Paro denies them straw. And hence we all sympathize with Moshe's question. Lama harios, lama zeh, lama zeh shlachtani. Why did you do this, Hashem? Moshe did not question Hashem about the decades of slavery before. Moshe understands there is something called galus. There's a bris bein habsarim which already prophesied. There is going to be tzara. That's not his difficulty. His difficulty is when you send me and I'm, in a sense, a failed Messiah. It's a failed mission, seemingly. It backfires. That's what's so troubling and vexing. And one of the difficulties in that narrative leading into this week's parasha is that Moshe Rabbeinu is voicing a great human conundrum. Hashem, what are you doing? Where are you? Theological conundrum, Lama Hari Yaisa. And the Rabbeinu Shalom seemingly doesn't really answer him. Why are you doing this? Why did you send me on a failed mission? Does Hashem give a theological explanation why he sent him on a failed mission? No. What does he say in that final pasuk in Parshas Shmos? Atatara. Now you're going to see it's going to get better. Parshas Va'era is going to immediately break out with a very different feel. The whole Parshas Va'era, every exchange with Pyro and Parshas Va'era is a winning exchange from the get-go. They're Arba L'Shem and Shal Ge'ula, right? And from the get-go, Moshe is on a run, right? Miracle after miracle after miracle with no mishaps with Pyro, right? So he basically tells him, you're right. But now it's going to get better, right? Now it's going to be great. But Hashem never really responded to the problem, Lama Hariosa, why did you do this? That's a very basic question here. And there are many dimensions of answers to this question in Pshat Remez Drush. So I discussed one in Atlanta last week. I would argue on one level, the answer is the following. It all goes back to the expectations thing. So long as we are in the period of Galus, Moshe doesn't have any question. Moshe did not question Hashem regarding the previous decades. There's a period called Galus, a period of struggle. That's not fair. That's not difficult. It's when it's seemingly the period of Geula that things should be different, right? What Hashem is telling Moshe here is, you misaligned what the period of Galus is and what the period of Geula is. You assumed very logically from the time I'm sending you in the burning bush, this ought to be the period of Geula after all I'm sending you. But in reality, your failed mission was a failed mission by design. The period of Galus, with all its deep not only deep pain, but deep hester panim, and where are you, Hashem? Culminates with this struggle, right? Of when the divine messenger comes, it becomes worse. That is not a failure in the beginning of the period of Geula. No. When it's the period of Geula, Hashem executes the job perfectly, right? That is actually the apogee of Golus, right? Which is why the Parshia Shmos and Ve'era are broken so neatly. Shmos is the parasha of Golus in its entirety. Va'era is the parasha of Geula in its entirety. It begins with the four Lashonos of Geula, and every exchange with Pyra is a miraculous winning exchange. Right? Shmos is the parasha of Golus. The final chapter in Shmos, which is Moshe's mission post the burning bush, is actually part and parcel of that full cohesive story of Geula, which is Shmos, right? Part of the Golus, part of the struggle in life is, right, when we think we're out of the woods, when everything would suggest we're out of the woods because the divine messenger has come, right? But really, it's not the period of Geula yet. So Hashem is telling him, Atotera, now you're going to see Geula happens, right? Geula, when it's time for Geula, it really happens. Atotera, now is the time for Geula. I.e., until now was the time of the Golus, including your original mission. So now you could come to terms with your supposedly failed mission, just as you are going to come to terms with the entire period of Golus. Golus is a difficult period of preparation for Geula. Your failed mission was really not a failed mission, right? It's a failure by design. And this is teaching us that Golus, which is not only the story of national Golus, but the story of personal Golus, as the Svarim HaKadoshim say, Golus Geula is something we all live in our personal life many, many times. Anything elusive in our life, anything we want deeply, Baruch Nisu Gashmius, any distance from Hashem, that's personal Golus, right? And then Geula is when the great breakthrough happens, right? That's our Bechenes Mashiach, the Svarim HaKadoshim say. Besides, for the ultimate Mashiach, when you have breakthroughs in your life, that's you. Tam Bechina, call what you wish, of Mashiach. So what we're being taught here in this story is part of the struggle period in life is when things seem to be getting better and they backfire. That is the way it works in this lifetime. When expectations backfiring, things seemingly pivoting in one direction, right? That beautiful romantic dinner, which was supposed to be a time of relational bonding, and then something goes wrong and it backfires. And with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? A period where you thought you were in an aliyah position. The davening's getting better, and just then, right? I have a backsliding, or whatever it might be. That is part and parcel of struggle in life. That is what this mother story of Golus, Golus Mitzrayim, is teaching us in the apogee of Golus as Shmos. And the Geula immediately starting in Parshas Va'era, right? And once we're in the Geula zone, we're in a good zone. I want to expand upon this understanding and this realization that when we look back at the story, vexing as it was for Moshe B'Shas Ma'isa, what's going on here? Lama Hariyosa, right? When you take a step back, it's very clear that Moshe's mission in Parshas Shmos was never the real Geula. The real Geula is Parshas Va'era, right? This failed mission is a failed of Shmos is a failed mission by design. I'll bring this out from a few clear proofs in the text. Proof number one. In the beginning of our Parsha, Parshas Va'era, before the Makos start, Hashem gives him the miracle of the snake to perform in front of Pyro, that is, right? In Shmos, he received that miracle to perform in front of the Jewish people. That miracle with some variations, right? But that miracle, he's only given a Parshas Va'era to prove his credentials to Paro, right? As it says in the beginning of our Parsha, oh, Hashem says, Paro's going to ask for an oath. Here's an oath to prove your credentials. Take your staff, throw it in the ground, it will turn into a serpent. Now I have a question for you. Why didn't Hashem give him that oath in Parshas Shmos? Right? In a sense, what are you thinking is going to happen? Moshe enters in Parsha Shmos, right, without any first impressions, positive first impressions. In our Parsha, before the Makos start, from the get-go, he has the positive impressions. Why is Hashem, right, pulling this card out of his stack only in Parshas Vayera, not in Parshas Shmos. You hear the question? The answer is, Parshas Shmos is not really the beginning of Moshe's Gula mission, right? Moshe is doomed for failure in Parshas Shmos. Hashem is not setting him up for success because it's not the story of Gula. If it was the story of Gula, it wouldn't have failed, right? And this is all part of impressing upon us. What we think is Gula is sometimes a little premature. It's not really Gula yet, despite all indications. I'll bring you another proof. The Parshas Ve'era is studded with indicators that this is the real beginning of Moshe's mission. First of all, it's only here you have the four Lashonos of Geula. Now it's really happening, unlike before. But more than that, in this week's Parsha, towards the beginning of the Parsha, before Moshe reapproaches Paro, we have a genealogy. The Reuven family, the Shimon family, the Levi family, down to Moshe and Aaron. As Rashi explains, it is giving you the lineage of redeemers so you appreciate who they are as people. Now the question is obvious. Are we really becoming acquainted with Moshe and Aaron for the first time in Parshas Vayera? We've known them a long time. We've known them many psukim back since Parshas Shmos. Why are they not first introduced with lineage in Parshas Shmos? In fact, I'm going to even make the argument. The Torah is conspicuously unidentifying them. We're leaving gaps in their identification in Parshas Shmos. Unlike here in Parshas Ve'er, where it discusses their origin, right? How Moshe and Aaron are both descendants of Amram and Yocheved and the lineage back to Kahas, back to Levi. In Parshas Shmos, it doesn't identify Moshe's parents at all, beyond the fact that they're Levim. Vayelichis mi bas Levi, vayikachas bas Levi. Obvious elusiveness regarding their lineage. And Aaron is just called Aaron Achicha Levi. They're Levim. It doesn't say who their parents are. It is so conspicuously silent regarding their Yichas. And it's especially vexing when we realize in Parshas Vayera it's going to be so specific regarding their Yichas. The answer is Zagufa. The Moshe and Aaron of Parshas Shmos are not the Golem. By design, there's an impression they're Golem from the burning bush, right? But they're not the real Golem yet. Gaps are being left in terms of who they are. It's not, the Torah's not introducing them, because the Torah's making it very clear, this is not the real Moshe and Aaron. The real Moshe and Aaron, who are going to stick, are successful Golem, right? And in a certain sense, and this is a very interesting thing to think about, by reintroducing Moshe and Aaron, now, for the very first time, Moshe and Aaron and their whole lineage, in a certain sense, it's as though swiping the slate clean. Right? And I'm suggesting there is an Avaida Deka message, there's a human message there. Failures in the past, when we have personal failures, right? When the tide shifts, we're able to jettison failures in the past. I'm feeling like a loser in the past. Yeah, that was a past period of struggle. And we jettison that baggage. I'm a new person, right? Moshe and Aaron, now when the Gula period begins, they're introduced by lineage for the very first time. I'll bring you another more technical proof to show that the Shlichus of Parshas Shmos is really a different story. It's a different iteration, right? That's the Gula story. This is a new story. In Parshas Shmos, when Moshe is all concerned about his voice impediment, Hashem says, okay, Aaron, your brother, who yil chalapeh, he's going to help you talk. Right, Rashi explains, after you say the message once, he's going to flesh it out and elaborate and dramatize it with an orator's drama. Right? Yet what happens in the beginning of Parshas Vayera? In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Moshe speaks to the people. Moshe speaks to Bnei Yisrael and tries to give them a message. V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotzi rachmei avodah kasha. Moshe speaks to them without Aaron in the beginning of Vayera. And complains again to Hashem, hey, why are you sending me? Right? I have a voice impediment. I need help. And then Hashem says, Aaron yeh neviyach, as though it's a new idea for the very first time. What's going on? The handicap was already settled, right? Hashem already assigned them Aaron. It's very clear that the Shmos iteration, when he assigned an Aaron, that's a self-contained story. There was a Shmos charade of redemption going on. I'm sending into Paro. It's all going to work. Yeah, right. This is all part of the Hester upon him. And it doesn't. And then it's back to square one. And in fact, in furtherance of this point, in Parshas Va'era, Aaron actually serves an even different role than he does in Parshas Shmos. In Parshas Shmos, it says, Hu yel halapeh, which Rashi says means not that he's going to speak in your stead, but he is going to dramatize your message. In Parshas Va'era, it says, Yen neviyacha, which Rashi says means he's going to speak in your behalf. Rashi explains it differently in both cases. It was a different function. It's two different stories. Aaron serves a different function in both stories. I'm just putting out the point very clearly. Shmos was a failure by design. It's all part of the Hester pun. And just to underscore this, because I think it's a very important point the Torah is telling us. These failures in life, when we seem to be pivoting, things should be going. We have all the expectations, and it's not that way. We have to accept, no, it wasn't meant to be, right? The frustration is part of the galus, and grow from it that way. Know that when it's time for success, it's going to be a smashing success, Be'ez Hashem. When you think about that, Ha'ara, we said before, that in Parsha Shmos, Hashem sent Moshe without the aid of a miracle of the staff turning into a snake. It's so pathetic when you think about it, Moshe entering without a miracle, right? Paro's not going to take him seriously at all. You know the word, let me bring this down. You know what Rashi says in our Parsha? In our Parsha, when Hashem says, I am providing you with positive first impressions, a staff to snake miracle. Rashi says the miracle is to say that you have a tzorech, l'lami tshiyesh b'cha tzorech, that you're purposeful. Without a miracle to Paro, he'll just blow you right down, right? So if Rashi's saying the miracle, providing Moshe with a miracle is to make him tzorechtik, to show that he's even worthy of consideration, that means you're making him pathetic in Parashat Shmos when you're sending him in. And yes, he's pathetic by design. It's all the galus, right? I would argue that this is further brought out by the Medrash in Parashat Shmos. The Medrash in Parashat Shmos speaks of the scene when Moshe entered the Parashat Shmos. And it speaks about Paro sitting. I don't want to say in Mar-a-Lago. I don't want to enter political and offend anyone by drawing any analogies. Which side of the biblical divide you see the present actors in, right? But he's sitting there with. It says Paro was receiving tributes and homage from the princes and kings of all over the world. And then Moshe Aaron comes in. And he sees them in the distance, says the Medrash. And he says, oh, who are those two old men? Who are those two geezers? And he mocks them, right? And they say, we come in the name of Yekivovke. And he says, I haven't heard of that one, right? Now, you don't find imagery like that in the Medrash regarding Moshe coming in Parshas Va'era. It seems to me, Midrashim, which are always bringing alive the story, it's portraying a pathos to Moshe and Aaron approaching Paro and Parshas Shmos. To bring out how Parsha Shmos is a story. Yes, yes, yes. That's when we feel pathetic in the divine mission, right? And it seems like Hashem is setting up for failure, and that's sometimes part of the struggle before it's time for Gula. And that's a very, very important message. But in the end of the day, when the tide turns, when the Gula starts, we're able to move on, throw away all baggage of the past, throw it overboard. Moshe and Aaron are now as though introduced for the very first time. And with this, the era unfolds. It's not only Moshe who seemed pathetic in Parsha Shmos, who of course ultimately seems pathetic in Parsha Shmos, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe speaking in the name of Yidkei Vavke, and Paro seems to have the last laugh, huh? And he throws them out on his head, right? And how does that reflect on Hashem? It seems to me the avoda of Parsha Shmos is coming to terms with the truth that sometimes it's not the time yet. It's not the time for Gula. And sometimes we even have to accept the Chil Hashem, right? Hashem can, in a moment, crush the Paros if he wants. It's not the time yet. And from this perspective, I want you to appreciate the following echo. Moshe at the burning bush tells Hashem, hey, you're sending me to the people. You're sending me without a name, without naming you. The people are all going to ask, what? Ma Shemo, Ma Omer Aleihem. Right? You just said, go to the people and tell them the Lord of your forefathers appeared to you. They're not going to know who this Hashem is. You're sending me with a very incomplete narrative. And Hashem says, okay, I'll give you some names. Ek Asher Ek, I'm Yurkei Vavkei. Do you know the funny thing? In Parshas Vayera, Hashem, on his own initiative, from the get-go, identifies himself as Yurkei Vavkei. Parshas Vayera begins with Hashem saying, until now I appear to the Ovises Kal Shakai, a name of incomplete revelation. Tell the Jewish people I'm Yud Kevavke. Everything Moshe demanded at the burning bush, which Hashem did not do on his own initiative, is exactly what happens in Be'er. Can you hear it's uncanny? This was not a mistake on Hashem's part of Parshas Be'er when he didn't reveal it yet, right? Everything Moshe's asking for in Parshas Shmos is exactly what happens in Be'er. I'm arguing Moshe, speaking on behalf of the people who are going to ask Hashem, this represents when we, as people, are unable to accept it's not time yet. There's a revelation which is not the real thing yet, right? And we have to sit and sit with patience, right? The first stage is not the one which is meant to be, so to speak, right? It's another rendezvous, it's another suitor. Because to me, it's, again, uncanny. Hashem does everything Moshe, the people through Moshe are asking him to do in Parshas Shmos, exactly what he does in Ve'er, because when it's supposed to happen, Hashem does a perfect job, right? And this appreciation that Parsha Shmos is a pathos by design. Moshe is entering so lacking, right? But that's all by design.
And his forecast in Shmos that it will fail.
Right, exactly, right.
He's not going to let you leave. So it's not a complete failure. This was forecast.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a very sharp point, which Eli is saying, Gedarka Bakadosh. Right, right. And Hashem says, and I know it. Hashem says those very words, right? And I know he's not going to correct. I'm going to argue the issue of the name and the name which Hashem does not disclose in Parshas Shmos until Moshe presses him the divine name. Masha'en Kina Parshas Va'eru, where Hashem is very explicit, I am Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That issue is especially poignant when you think about last week's shiur. You remember last week's shiur we traced the meaning of the title Shmos and how the entire Parsha Shmos is all about names. Names of the people, from the naming of Moshe, it's the naming of Shifrin Puah, it's the naming of Yisro, right? On one hand, it's the naming of Hashem, on the other hand, Akasharaka, Yudkei Vavkei, Moshe killing the Mitzri by uttering Hashem's name. That's a passage about the fusion of the divine names and the human names we studied as represented by the very first Pasuk Al Pi Medrash, when Ve'elah Shmos B'nai Yisrael is read to mean both the names of Hashem and the names of the Jewish people which are fusing, because we Jewish people are the identifiers of Hashem on earth. That was last week's shiur, right? So if Parsha Shmos is all about names in particular, the ability to identify Hashem through the Jewish people in the Jewish story, very gulatic when Jews are successful, right? The name, the ability to identify Hashem is manifest, right? So it is so troubling. We touched on this last week a bit from a different perspective. It's so troubling that in Parsha Shmos, which is the Parsha all about names, Hashem is not forthcoming in the name the way he is in Parshas Vayera. Vayera makes it clear that the true Gilui of Yudkei Vavkei is not happening in Shmos, but only in Vayera. There's a certain magic to that. There's a certain magic to that. In the Parsha about names, and then in the entire theme of the Parsha, the naming is incomplete until we round the corner in Parshas Vayera. Right? And I'm going to suggest that pattern, right? In Parsha Shmos, the namings are incomplete and immediately become complete when the tide turns, when the parasha shifts to parashas Vayera. That theme is perfect and precise because appreciating that Shmos is the story of Jewish names and divine names together, Ve'ela Shmos B'nai Yisrael, as we studied. Ve'ela being the divine names, B'nai Yisrael being the human names, Alpi Dazar. So you'll notice something. Just as with the divine names, the naming isn't complete until Parshas Vayera. Hashem says the true manifestation of Yidkei Vavkei is not in Parshas Shmos, only in Parshas Vayera. The same is true regarding the human names, particularly the naming of Moshe. As we said before, as much as one of the major namings in Parshas Shmos is the naming of Moshe, right? Basia names him Moshe, and the Midrash celebrates her name and makes a big deal about the fact that because of her act of Gemilas Chesed, her name sticks, right? So from a Shmos naming perspective, as we studied last week, the name of Moshe peeks out. But at the same time, Moshe's name is very incomplete. Part of a Jewish name is not only your name, but the name of your father. Moshe ben Amram, the ben Amram is not just a piece of bio. Your father's name is part of your name, right? And it's in Parsha Shmos, Moshe and Aaron are, their naming is fragmented. They're being introduced without their father's name. Parshas Vayera from the get-go is introducing them with the Ela told us identifying them by their father, which is not only a further identification, but it's a complete naming. I'm going to argue that there's a grand pattern here that both strata of Shemos, the Shemos of Hashem and the Shemos of Bnei Yisrael, are both incomplete in Parshas Shmos and only becoming complete in Parshas Vayera, right? This all, I think, points to the theme. Parsha Shmos is, in a sense, a tease. It's a parsha of names where the naming is incomplete. It's a parsha of supposed Geula and the burning bush when the Geula is incomplete. It's a parsha of tease. Because in Olam Hazeh, the story of Geulas is a tease. There's a lot of teasing going on. It's very, very painful. Think about anyone who has a struggle. Yeah? Okay, when I'm looking at Reb Chanoch and he and his Eishes Chayil, who are involved so much Avodas HaKodesh in terms of Shidduchim in our community, right? So for some reason, those Mishnayos pass my mind when I think about him and his Eishes Chayil, right? It's very, very easy to deal with, right? The Shidduchim that just wasn't a go, right? Black and white, this is just not a go. I'm not saying it's easy for the person to feel, okay, I wasted a night, but it is what it is. But the ones where it seemed like it was something, and it progressed, right? That, and then it doesn't, right? Those are the tearjerkers, right? Those are the kishka churners, right? Of course, right? That's the story in your living room every night, mm-hmm. right? And I want everyone here to know Reb Shragi has told me what tzaddikim they are. It's unbelievable. So no one would know, those who don't know their personal life. Okay, but that's apparently the story of life. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not have galus, geula, travails and triumph in neat boxes. Failure, success. No. The struggle gufa is. Hatzlacha teases us. It seems like this is going and then it doesn't. That's why Parsha Shmos, the Parsha of the Golas, is a Parsha of Geula teasing us, right? At least half of Parsha Shmos is the burning bush and on when it seems like it should be going and it doesn't. When it's the Parsha of Shmos and everything names represents, as we studied last week, more than simply the technicality of a moniker of a name, but names in terms of identification, of meaning, of purpose, of Giloy, names reveal who the persona is, whether of Hashem or of Klal Yisrael. Right, so names, i.e. revelation of persona, Hashem becoming manifest in the world. That's his name. The Jewish people taking on a powerful presence. Yeah, in that parable, supposedly about that. It's real, very incomplete. Yes, the tease is exactly the story of the cause. And that is the perfection of the unit of Parsha Shmos. It's a full unit of the story of Galus But then, as we're saying, it's so clear when the tide shifts. When it's Geula time, it's Geula time. There is not, Paro does not win one time in Parshas Vayera. You know, it's interesting the Jewish people have some doubts. Apparently, even in the Tekufa of Geula, even after the four Lashonos of Geula, right, they have Kotzira Havod Akasha. Apparently, even when the Geula comes, we still have some baggage to get over, right? But substantively, the Geula is complete, right? Every exchange with Paro, beginning with the first, even before the Makos. Moshe throws down his staff, it becomes a stick. Chatumi Paro try the same, but who has the last laugh? Aaron's staff swallows theirs up, right? And then all the Makos, right? I'm going to actually argue that Parshas Va'era is a complete story of vanquishing Paro. It's a complete story. Just to appreciate how the Parshias are not random. You know, it's not, you know, we need a dividing lines, so the Seder HaParshias as we have them, we need a dividing lines, they're arbitrarily from Chas V'Shal. Each Parsha is a complete cohesive unit, that's why Kol Yisrael eventually adopted it this way, just as Shemos we saw as the complete Parsha of the Golus. Va'era is the complete Parsha of the, as a complete parsha. Why do I say that? One might think Va'era is a run-on into Bo. Yeah? There's 10 Makos, and only 7 are in Va'era. The final 3 are in Bo, right? We all know the Balaturim. This is one of those Balaturims we learned since third grade, right? Bo. Base plus Aleph equals 3. There are 3 Makos in Bo, right? That one everyone knows, right? So, hey, we might think of it, but it's so clear that Bo is a new unit, and the final 3 Makos are a new unit. It's clear for the Pshuto Shomekra. You know why? Because Parshas Bo starts. Now, this is in the already at a climactic stage, the Makos. The Makos are nothing new. There have been 7 of them already. And yet Parshas Bo introduces the final 3 Makos with an entire justification. Bo al Paro. You know why, Moshe, you should go to Paro? He'll say next week's Parsha. Ki anich barati aslibo baslev avado v'manchu siyo zei eila bekirbo. Because there's a need to place miracles amongst them. Ulamata sapra bosni binchu ben binchas asheru salat b'mitzrayim. And I want you to have a good story to tell your children how I mocked the mitzrayim. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is begging for an explanation. Why in the beginning of Parshas Bo is a new justification given for Makos? Makos? Makos have been going on since the beginning of Parshas Va'era. Why does Parshas Bo have a need to justify the Makos? The Rishonim pick up on this and explain very much B'derach HaPshat, because Va'era actually completed an entire Makos cycle. Something happened at the end of Parshas Va'era, I apologize, is an entire Makos cycle. It's a new Makos cycle. You know why? Because something happened at the end of Parshas Va'era after Barim, which never happened before. You know, each of the Makos was a push and a pull between Moshe and Paro. Will I let them go? Will I not let them go? Okay, I'll let them go. And then when he has air to breathe again, I won't let them go. Right? It's all that push and pull. But something happens after Barim. Paro, for the first time, at the conclusion of Barim, I should say, before Barim finally departs, he doesn't simply say, I'll let them go. You know what he says? Chatasi, Hashem Atzadik, Vani V'Ami Harasham. He says that the first time after Barad. The Rishonim see that as a pivotal moment. Even though after Barad he's going to play shenanigans and say, no, I will not let them go. The bottom line is, he conceded. That's how Barad ends. Mission accomplished. Paro concedes already. That's a conclusion point. In a sense, phase 1 has been mission accomplished, which is triumphing Paro. Bo has to give, and the Rishonim insinuate this, take a look at both the Ramban and the Rashban and put them together. Bo gives a new justification, because hey, battle has been won. Whenever Hashem wants, he could overpower the by now pitiable tyrant, who Hashem has by now shown. Hashem can at win, pull him on a chain with a maka, this way, that way, right? Hashem can do whatever he wants. The tyrant has admitted defeat, right? Bo needs to give a new justification, right? Oh, l'machi siyo se'e l'bekir bo, l'machi sapa posne b'cho ben b'cho, which I'm going to explain to mean as follows. While the makos of Va'era have to do with Paro, Va'era is bringing down Paro. in line with what Vayera purported to be doing in the beginning, from the get-go of Parshas Vayera. It said early in our parsha, V'yadu Mitzrayim Kani Hashem, triumphing Paro and the Mitzrayim, the foe, was the Vayera focus, but it was not about the Mitzrayim anymore. We've won. When our Hashem wants, he could bring this thing to an end. They're pitiable. Bo is about teaching us more lessons of Shechina, of divine revelation. And that's why Parshas Bo does not say this is to overpower the Mitzrayim. It says, Lamanchi Siosei Lebekir, but to place these osos amongst them. They're props, they're objects. Ulamanta Sapra Ba'azni Bichu Bemucha. So you have a nice story to say at the Seder, Sherry's ultimate concern. It's about you, it's not about them. Right? We have more of a need for a message of Amunah. And I'll further elaborate this in Kabbalistic terms. We know the Svar Makdoshim tell us the 10 Makus are connected to 10 Spheres. The 7 Spheres of Be'er are connected to the 7 Spheres Tachtonios. Chesed, Gvur, Tvaris, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus. The 3 of Bo are connected to the 3 Spheres Elyonos. Chachma, Bina, Das. In other words, if you want an easy approach to this, which is called in Kabbalah the Erech Apim versus the Zera Anpin, just as a human being has intellectual capacities and then emotional capacities, and a healthy human being, their functionality begins in the brain, and then the brain informs the heart. How you think affects the way you feel, right? So likewise, Kaviyachu with Hashem Shafa, Rechachma Bina Das, what we see as mental capacities, are the Hashbos on top, and then they take the form of Chesed Kvur Tiferes Netzach Yisomach, which are called Midah Shebelev. We would say emotional, right? That's a basic classification that Kabbalah give us, and the lower spheres, the spheres Shebelev, are seen as one which earthlings and Gashmim can have a shaychus to, right? That's why the world was created in 7 days, right? Just as when you know a person, you don't know what's in their head, but you know a bit more what is in their emotion. The emotion is in the heart, the body, so on. So I'm therefore going to explain in Va'era, which is dealing with the paro, which is dealing with the spiritually unelevated, the Makos are all on the level of 7, the 7 Tachtonios. The 7 Tachtonios, which are accessible to earthlings. The 3 Elyonos, the divine mind, that's under the para. That's a revelation to Bnei Yisrael. Lamanta Sapra Bosni Bikram, that's our sort of Seder stuff. I'm just mentioning this to point out, understand the clear divide between Ve'era and Bo. Ve'era is a complete story. It's mamash a complete story. It's a complete story of triumph over Paro. And that once proud Paro, right, who has the last laugh at the end of Shmos, Ve'era is a complete story of triumphing him, and it's culminating, and that is the thematic culmination, what he says at the end, I'm done, right? Chatasi, Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami Hirashem. And anything that happens in Bo is not about him anymore. It's about our needs and our, right? There are many, many, many dimensions to this realization that Shmos is a parasha of struggle, Va'era is a parasha, including in the supposed redemption, which was a failure by design, and then Va'era is a story of success to beginning to end. I gave a shiur about this earlier in the week, which some have heard. I'll make mention of one slight final indicator in this direction, and that's the great thematic question. Faith, how does faith work? Is it Amunah or is it Yediyah? Do we believe in Hashem or do we know Hashem? Belief or knowledge, right? This might even be a Machlokas Rishon, right? But the Rambam famously in the Yad tells us that the Anochi Hashem Elokech Asher Tzichem Eretz Mitzrayim, the divine identification of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a mitzvah of Yediyah, to know. Mitzrayim brings up the truth in Hashem, not something on a level of belief, i.e. it's something elusive, but something you believe in. Yetzias Mitzrayim brings out the truth on a level of Yediyah, right? Even though the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says Emunah, it's been pointed out, the Rambam never wrote the word Amunah. Sefer HaMitzvah was never written in Hebrew by the Rambam, it was written in Arabic, and the Chaim Heller and others point out the original Arabic of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah could be equally translated as Yediyah, right? So all the Shtekach Torah that were said about that supposed steer between the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvah and the Yad, right, are really not really need not be said. The Rambam is very clear that Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Anochi Hashem Elokecha Hashem is Yediyah, which is really clear from the Pesukim. Vidatam ki ani Hashem, the term Yediyah, as the Zohar points out, appears so many times regarding Yitzias Mitzrayim. Well, I want to make a very simple point in that regard. The term Yediyah appears again and again in which parasha? Vayera. From the beginning to end, really from the Arba Lashon HaShagul in the beginning of our parasha, which is actually the foreshadowing of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'll take you to be my nation. I'll be your God. As the Mefarshim point out, that's the foreshadowing of Matan Torah, the covenantal relationship. The Vidatam would directly correspond to the Anochi Hashem Elokecha of Matan Torah, that I believe further finesses the Rambam's point. But that pasuk and beyond, the term Vidatam appears again and again in Parashas Va'era. Does the term Amunah appear once in Parashas Va'era? No. However, the term Amunah did appear again and again in Parsha Shmos, right? Moshe complained to the Hain Lo Yaminu Bi, Lo Yisro Kali several times, and finally it says Vayamin Ha'am. Okay, when Moshe came, the people did have Amunah, because I'll link up the Vayamin Ha'am back to Avram Avinu's Amunah, Vayamin Basham Ve'yachash V'lot Staka, their Kali Yisro Aminim B'nei Aminim when they have Avram's trait. You see there's a major Amunah theme throughout the Pesukim in Parsha Shmos. Shmos is an Amunah theme. Va'era is a Yediyah theme, right? Because the Parsha of Gauls is the Parsha of Amunah. An elusive truth which we have belief in. Right? As Rashi's telling us in the beginning of this week's Parsha, when Hashem says, now I'm going to, in Parsha's Va'era, I'm going to prove the truth of Yidkei Vavkei. The Avos, I didn't do that. Right? Rashi B'Shem Chazal points out the Avos had this ability to believe in Hashem and not be doubtful, even when there was reason to be doubtful. Right, that's Amunah, that's Avram's Midah, which is Amunah, not Yediyah, right? Right, significant that Avram actually struggles with Yediyah. He says, Bama Eda, how do I know? And Hashem says, Yedoa Teda, you'll know through Yitzias Mitzrayim, because the Yedoa Teda introduces Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's immediately following the pasuk Vayamin Bashem. Right, if it says Vayamin Bashem, Avram is full in Amunah, if that says, Bama Eda, oh, Yedoa Teda, right? Do you see how it's enshrined in the story of Avram? Avram has Amunah, he doesn't have Yediyah, which is really echoed by Rashi in our Parsha, right? Yidkei Vavkei, which is the fullness of the revelation of Hashem. Avram doesn't have that. Avram's able to live without complete revelation, right? Avram has Amunah, not Yediyah, right? See how that's symmetrically coming down here. The Parsha Shmos, pre-Va'era, there's Amunah, there's not Yediyah. Parsha's Va'era has complete Yediyah. And you see this in the Haftorah, which is about another paro and the defeat of another paro in Yechezkel. You will see again and again it uses the term Yediyah, Vidatam Kini Hashem. And just like our parasha, both concerning the Jewish people knowing that Hashem is Hashem and the Mitzrim knowing that Hashem is Hashem. Right, it says in the Haftorah, Yechezkel Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Chavav, right in the beginning, V'yadu Kini Hashem Elokeichem, and then it says in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Vav, of Yechezkel right here in the Haftorah, V'yadu kol yoshev Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, and then the Haftorah concludes V'yadu ki ani Hashem. It started with Yediyah, so symmetric. It's the parasha, the defeat over Paro and Parsha's Va'era is all about Yediyah. Do you see how that's a parasha theme captured by the Haftorah? Yediyah as opposed to Amunah. How does our shir all come together cohesively? Amunah. We have to believe in truths when there are questions. When Hatzlacha is teasing at us like it does to Moshe at the end of Parsha Shmos, it seems like things are working, and right when they're working, they bet. That's the story of Amunah, dealing with mixed signals. We have to be able to deal with mixed signals. That's Amunah. But ultimately, when the time comes, it won't be Amunah. It won't be dealing with mixed signals. There'll be this great theme of Yediyah as represented by the word pattern of Parshas Va'era, which comes together as a cohesive tapestry. May we all be zaycha to hold on tight in the times of Amunah, and then to be zaycha to see the breakthroughs, but as was Hashem, when the Shmos becomes Ve'era, and then we have the confidence in the truth. Amen. Can you hear me?